Okay, this is April 21st, and I'll start becoming more.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Last week, we handed out the treatments for the steps in treatment. So here's what I'd like some help with. Anytime that you don't understand anything that I'm doing or saying, tell me and we'll clear that up. I hadn't realized that so many people didn't know the steps. We often talk about the steps in treatment. So now you have the steps. And of course, the thing to remember about that is that's just one method of doing something. And you do not have to stay in those particular steps because there is no mystery in doing that, you see. It's not in the ritual that's going to get you your demonstration. It's going to be in your belief. It's going to be how much feeling you put behind your treatment that is going to make the treatment work. Not the particular steps, because here again, there's 5-step treatments and there's 7-step treatments. I do not do the 7-step treatment. Also, in the 5-step treatments, if I am doing a treatment, I mix them up. I don't go 1 through 5. The only reason they're 1 through 5 is to organize your mind and organize your thinking so that you can ask for exactly what you want and be specific in what you want. It's the only thing that treatment is for. The other reason is treatment is one of the wonderful things that religious science has that is scientific and that it works. So learn to do treatment work, but learn in your own way. Use this just as a model, the same way as a recipe. You change recipes all the time when you're cooking. And it comes out and you make it your own. You make your own recipe if you're baking something. And over the years, you change things. This is what you do with this treatment work. You don't stay the same. You have to make it yours. I've said that since day one. Always make everything yours. Always make everything yours. When I say something, you may take anything that I say, change it any way you want, and use it any way you want. Just don't tell people Dallas said this. Say, I'm saying this. You say, I know what I'm saying. When I was at the Atlanta Church of Religious Science in the ministerial classes, when I was in the 4th year class, where I was teaching the 3rd year class, and I would ask the 3rd year students, what do you think of this? And each one would start out, well, Kennedy says. At that time, Kennedy was the minister of the church. So they always said, well, Kennedy says. Well, Kennedy says this. Well, Kennedy. I said, well, what do you say? What do you say? You see, you have to make things your own. The same way you have to make God your own. You see, God is impersonable. But you make God personal to yourself by what you're thinking and feeling about God. You're the one that's doing that in your own mind. What I think about God is completely different from what you think. But the main thing is to do your own thinking. To do your own thinking. That's what this teaching is all about. It's to teach you to think, not what to think. This teaching never teaches you what to think. It teaches you how to think and how to think for yourself. And you get information here and you take that information and you do something with that information. But you always make it your own. Speaking of information, let's look at this card, which is from the Atlanta Church of Religious Science. I found this in one of my drawers. And it was completely brown, so I've had it quite a while. Now, it says here, infinite mind in me is greater than all kinds of acquired knowledge. You see, you have to realize that this infinite mind, this thing that we call God, which you are living, moving, and have your being in, which is working through you and as you, is more intelligent than all the knowledge that you're going to accumulate in your lifetime. Why do we want to know that? Because there are 2 things that human beings do, that we all do, and we think that we're living our lives. And we're usually not living our lives. We're living somebody else's life because we're thinking somebody else's thoughts. Because all the knowledge that you have is secondhand knowledge, except for the infinite mind that is in you. That's firsthand information. Anything else you're receiving is secondhand information. I'm giving you secondhand information. When you take it, it's... And we just keep using secondhand information all the time. The other thing that human beings do is they react automatically. We react automatically because we see how other people are reacting to a situation, and we immediately start acting that way. Over the weekend, I was watching that television set, and I like to see what people are doing, and I was watching the Ray Charles story, which I thought was wonderful. But he had a fight with one of his girlfriends, and immediately she gets upset, and what does she do? She starts to drink. That's an automatic thing. You see, we see other people, oh, they're upset, they take a drink. Oh, that's upsetting, let's have a drink. Let's have a drink. You see? That's automatic. That's an automatic reaction. Why is this so important to, if you want to own your own life, if you want to live your own life, it's all right to take a drink. It's all right to do all that stuff. But know that you're doing it because you want to do it, not because it's an automatic reaction. If you're just reacting automatically to everything, you're not living your own life. That is what I call an imitation of life. And most people are living an imitation of life. They're imitating somebody else because that is how we learn since childhood. When we look at other people and we start to imitate them. So you have to, at this point in your life, say, is this really who I am? Is this really the way I want to react to something? Or can I change my mind and react differently? The whole idea of being a human being and being on this plane of action and experiencing this thing that we call life is to understand that you have choice and that you have to be able to choose what you want to think, when you want to think it, and how you are going to respond to something instead of reacting to something. So think of those things when something comes in to your life. Do you have to be sad because everyone else is sad? Do you have to be upset because everybody else is upset? You see. How are you choosing to respond to life? How are you choosing to respond to the things outside in your life? You see. And then you have to start. Remember, we had started this whole thing in this month of becoming more. And the way that we become more is to realize what we are doing, to be able to see ourselves doing it, and to be able to change what we are doing. Otherwise, we just keep repeating ourselves. We just keep reacting to the world around us. So you have to realize that there is no person, place, thing, or condition that has any authority over you whatsoever. That the only authority is the authority that you give it. You will have to become the authority in your own life. And you have to be able to start thinking for yourself. Why is that so important? Because one of the tenets of religious science is this. You must learn to be able to think the thoughts that you want to think. And to be able to feel the feelings that you want to feel. That is what this whole teaching is about. That is exactly what Ernest Holmes said. It's pushed by the wayside because people try to make this into something else and into a religion. You say, you can make it into a religion if you want. You can study the Bible if you want, and you can go through all that. But the main thing, the religious science, is trying to do is help people realize that they have a choice and that you can learn to think the thought that you want to think. And you can learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel. Otherwise, you are reacting to outside stimuli. And then you are not in control of your life. You are not in control of your life. week or so ago, I mentioned the whole idea that you must learn to think from a different mode of operation. From a different mode of operation, what does that actually mean? Well, let me clear up something since we now know about treatment. Also, I talk about race mind all the time, and apparently some people understand it and some people don't. Race mind is also the collective consciousness. It's the collective consciousness that we live in. What do we mean by that? It's also called the official line of consciousness. The official line of consciousness, or therefore the official line of thinking. And that is what the majority of the people on this planet thinking. And are you joining in with that thinking? If you are, then you are living in what we call race mind. And I am here to tell you, if you are thinking in race mind, then you are always going to be in what's called the law of averages. And if you're thinking in the law of averages, you cannot get into the law of cause and effect, or you cannot make the law of attraction work for you. Therefore, that thing called the secret will not work for you because you are using race mind to do your thinking. And it will not work in race mind. It will work in race mind only as race mind works, because it is the law of attraction. But you have to move up. This teaching shows you how to move up from the law of averages to the law of cause and effect, where you have to realize that you are causing everything that comes into your life. That you are causing everything that comes into your life. Rhoda earlier this evening gave me this. She's had for years, and it's by Deepak Chopra. Responsibility means not blaming anyone or anything for your situation, including yourself. It is the ability to have a creative response to the situation as it is now. As it is now. You have to respond instead of react. If you're reacting to everything, you're in race mind or collective consciousness, or this what we call the official line of consciousness. You're seeing. So, try to become more by moving out and seeing what is this doing for me. But remember that most information, all information, is secondhand. So go within and try to find information directly from this thing that we call God, or directly from this thing that we call the divine. You have to realize that you are one with God, and that you are one with this mind, that there is only one mind, and everyone is using that one mind. So you can go in through using your mind into the bigger mind and come up with a different idea and a better idea. So let's read the rest of this. It is my sustaining support and will be in all that is prepared for me. Ever expecting this good, I project it in my world today with authority. Learn to use this and learn to use your own authority. When you say something, you have to know that it is working for you. If you give a treatment, you have to know that that treatment is immediately at work. It's immediately at work. If you do an affirmation, you have to know that that affirmation is immediately at work. You have to use your authority. Why do you use your authority? Because you're one with God. God and you are one and the same thing, and God has authority, therefore you have authority. So you have to use your own authority in these things. This is how you're going to become more, by doing it. But always without blame, always without shame, but take responsibility for everything that happens and everything that happens around you. Remember, I take responsibility for everything good that happens within a 100-mile radius of me. I've caused it. You have to be able to do this and say, oh, look what I just caused. And then you can see yourself as bigger and more, you see. So, use these tools, the treatment, and use your affirmations to make yourself what you want to become. Since we are one with God, and since we know that God creates, you have to know that you create, and you have to know that you create yourself. And you do not create yourself by using your past people. Everyone wants to go back and change the past or blame themselves for what happens to them now because of something that happened to them in the past. Give that idea up. If you have that idea, where do you think that idea is from? Well, it's from race mind. Race mind always goes to history to do anything. You cannot go back and blame anything on yesterday or the moment before. All power is in the present moment. So, when you know that all power is in the present moment, you make your statement in the present moment. You do not say, oh, what's going to happen because yesterday I did this, this, and this. No. Or a minute ago I did this, this, and this. Right here and right now, you make that statement and know that that is the only authority, and it moves from that point forward. It does not drag all that crap from the past with it. This is why most people cannot change, because they will not give up their past. They will not give up their history, and they will not give up their stories that they have told themselves about themselves. You have to give the story up. When you give the story up, you give your addictions up. You see? An addiction is in the story. Once you give up the story, you give up the addiction. But if you keep telling yourself the same story, you hold on to that addiction. This is not the way you make yourself more, you see. So you give that up. The mind likes to tell you that. All right. Let me see. And we can do race mind so that you absolutely understand what race mind is. We are always born into a conversation that is already going on. Each and every one of us, I was born into a conversation in the 1940s. That conversation was completely different. We didn't have computers. We didn't have television. We didn't have microwaves. We didn't have those things. Children today, when they were born, they say, oh, look how smart that kid is. He knows how to do that computer because he's born into that conversation. That is race mind. He's born into that conversation. It's going on. Why is this so important to know? Because if you want to heal yourself of anything, last week, remember, I was coming down with a cold. I made up my mind that I was not going to get that cold. That cold had nothing to do with me whatsoever. Remember, I made the statement, the dish is never dirty. That means inside of me, there is a power. Call it your spirit, call it your soul. It can be attached to nothing. It is always absolutely pure. Things can get collected on me, but the dish is never dirty. Just like barnacles on a ship, you can take them off. Now the barnacles may slow the ship down, you see, but it doesn't hurt it. So you have to realize that. So then you have to remove yourself from race mind. How do you remove yourself from race mind? I sat immediately down and said to myself, listen, Dallas, there may be something going on in your physical body, but that has nothing to do with you whatsoever. And you are not buying into any belief system that the world is giving you, that this thing called race mind is giving you. Therefore, if I have bacteria in my body, if I have viruses in my body, they are not multiplying. They are not multiplying. This cold can leave me instantly. Then I go about my business. So I was in a store, and I went, and a man said to me, oh, a summer cold, you know they're the worst. Out of my mind completely that went. I went out and I said, isn't that wonderful? I just heard race mind. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. Nothing to do with me whatsoever. Why are summer colds worse the miracles. Why is the cold worse? Why is this, 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 that? You see? We buy into all that stuff. That is what race mind is all about. That is how insidious race mind is. And it's out there all the time. You have to see it and divorce yourself from that. And divorce yourself from it. That's all. Let's look at the next one here. So by Wednesday, I'm feeling fine. Then, my daily word for Wednesday. And we'll go over this quickly. God's powerful presence is at work within me. I am healed in every way. So you have to know that this thing called God is operating in, as, and through you. That this power is healing me. That this power is greater than the race mind idea. That this power has to be greater than these little virus and these little bacteria or whatever is causing this has to be better. Then I sit down and I visualize this. How many people here remember that we were given dominion? We were given dominion over all the animals, were we not? And now we know that also God doesn't know the difference between big and small. So why do we have to know the difference between big and small? If I have dominion over an elephant, I certainly have dominion over a virus. If you look at a virus, it looks like a little animal. Mm-hmm. You say, God doesn't know the difference. So why do I have to know the difference? Because race mind tells me that. Race mind tells me, oh yes, you can have dominion over that elephant. You can't have dominion over a virus because that virus is going to take over your body. So I say, I have dominion. It's not taking over my thought. It's not taking over my mind. You have to use your what? You have to use your imagination. You have to use your imagination. Then we go on. As I think about all that, I love this one. As I think about all that my own hand is capable of doing, I am reminded of how magnificent the creativity of God is. How many times have you seen me or heard me say, look at your hand and see what a miracle that is. All the stuff that we can do with this hand. It's an absolute miracle. As soon as I read that, I said, oh, isn't that wonderful? I love that idea. And I immediately started to imagine in my mind all the wonderful things that my hand was able to do. I was painting, I was doing different things. And I said, this is absolutely true. This is absolutely true. My hands, my eyes, my heart are wondrous examples of not only the creative power of God, but also the restorative power of God, which is active within me every day. Restorative power of God in me every day. How many people know that you're restoring yourself every day? If you listen to Race Mind, what does it tell you? You're dying every day. It tells you that every day something's going to happen to you. Watch it. Watch it. You're going to come down with something. This is going to happen. The restorative power every day. Why is this so important? Remember, you must move your mode of operation. If you're thinking in race mind, that is what you are going to get. And that is your base of operation. Move your base of operation, the mode of operation where you're thinking from, to a higher level. Where you're thinking differently. Where you're thinking differently. And then you have to keep using your thinking. You have to think, now I remember what Henry David Thoreau said. Man becomes what he thinks about all day long. If I think I'm restoring myself, then I'm going to start to restore myself. If I think I'm falling apart all day long, I'm going to start to fall apart. You see? Move out of race mind. Move out of that mode of thinking. I love that word, official line of thinking. The official way of thinking. How many people have ever gotten into bureaucracies?
Oh, God.
All right. Think of race mind as a bureaucracy. You can't get out of it. I mean, their thinking is so convoluted, and they're not about ready to budge. No, it must be done this way. No, can I just give you two copies? No, you need three copies. Well, one, two, no. You need, well, where does the third one go? We don't know, but you need three. So you have to see how base mind and what it's doing, and then move out of that thinking. All your life is done with your thinking, people. Everything that's ever come into your life because of your thinking. Not because of somebody else's thinking, because of your thinking. You see? That's why it's so important not to use secondhand stuff. I acknowledge the capacity for healing that is always present within every cell of my body. Think of that one. Then I sit down and I thought, oh my goodness, isn't that marvelous? Every cell of my body. And I happen to know that I have between 70 and 80 trillion cells in my body. And each one of those is a healing cell. Now, how can I feel sick if I have 70 trillion cells working for me? 70 trillion cells. Think of that. I cooperate with the creative power of God that brought me into being and is doing a healing work within me right now. A healing work within me. And then I start to think, oh, I'm not sick, I'm healing. I'm not sick, I'm healing. And yes, I may have a snuffy nose, I may have this, but I'm healing. I'm not getting sick. I am healing from these things. Now, you may talk to another metaphysician and they will say, now why do you think you have a cold? You must have been thinking something. You must be confused. You must be, oh bull. Who cares? If you're sick, you're sick. But you know immediately what to do about it. You sit down and realize that this thing we call God restores you. And you start to restore yourself from that minute and you forgive yourself. You're saying, you forgive yourself. You take responsibility for that. And you say, I'm not going to fall for that. I'm taking complete responsibility. And I'm going on with my life. Every day in prayer, I bring into my consciousness a greater realization of the power of God within me to lead and restore my mind and body. How many people sit down and know that every day? God within me to heal and restore a greater realization. Every day have a greater realization of God. Every day have a greater realization of who you are. If you want to grow, let yourself know that you are a wonderful human being. A wonderful human being. As I do, I participate in this healing, restorative activity, and I am healed in every way. I am healed in every way. So, what realization do we have to know about ourselves? Not only that we are wonderful, not only that we are connected with this thing we call God, that God and I are one in the same thing, we have to know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. With that, that's due to matter day.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
If you really matter, then you can heal yourself. If you really matter, you can come to a different realization of who you are so that you can become more. So that you can become more. That's the whole idea here. That's what we all want to do. We want to become more of what we really are. And we want to have more in our lives, don't we? And you can have more in your life till you become more. So, think about that. What is it that you want? And then how can I change? And know that anything that you have, I don't care, the race mind wants to tell you that you can't get rid of something. You see. Race mind also wants to tell you that you are the same. They want to label you and keep you. Don't allow them to do that. Don't allow them to do that. I never consider myself an alcoholic. I never consider myself an alcoholic. Years ago when I drank, I'm sure people thought I was an alcoholic. And back then I thought too, geez, Dallas, I think you have a problem here. But I don't do that to myself today. I would never say, geez, I'm an alcoholic. I would never say that. Any addiction you want to get rid of, how are you going to get rid of if you keep telling yourself that's what you are? If you keep telling yourself that's what you are, you're going to stay where you are. Now this, please hear me. This is not knocking 12-step programs. Many people, almost 90% of the people that come into religious science come in through the door of the 12-step program. And if you need the 12-step program and it works for you, then use it. Then use it. Well, I'm here to tell you that you can become more. And you become more by stop living in race mind. Stop living in race mind. And move up to the law of cause and effect. So that you know that you cause everything that comes into your life. So that you know that your thinking is causing something to happen. That every thought goes in to this mind that we call God. Now, do you want it to go in to that part that's called race mind? Now, see, many people think also about race mind. There's God's mind and there's race mind. Now, why is that an impossibility?
It's duality.
That would be duality. So race mind has to be included in the big mind. It has to be included in the big mind. It has to be also the mind of God. But it's the way a collective consciousness is using it. And it is so convincing that we start to believe what the world is telling us. You see? So, for healing of any type, physical, emotional, whatever type of healing, your spiritual, whatever you're looking for, you have to raise above race mind to be able to do it. Because race mind doesn't have the power to do it for you. And it's very comfortable to live in race mind, and race mind is very convincing. And we think that we're living life. Race mind lies to you all the time. It feeds you nothing but secondhand information. And it certainly tells you how to react to everything. It never tells you that you can respond. It never tells you that you can think differently, that you can think out of the box. It wants to keep the status quo all the time. It wants to keep the status quo all the time. And if you're in this type of teaching, which is a fringe teaching, I'll use that word, fringe teaching, right away, you're not in the status quo. You can't be in religious science and be in the status quo. It's an impossibility. Earlier, with the little affirmation from the Atlanta Church of Religious Science, Atlanta, Georgia, she said, geez, that's hard. It must have been hard in the South. Yes. To do this in the South is hard. Why is it hard? Because of race mind. Because of race mind. That's the Bible Belt. And those people are brought up on that. And they've been brought up on that for generation after generation after generation. There is no leeway for thinking there because they know it all. They know it all. You cannot do it. And they read the Bible literally. So you're not going to win. But Kennedy Schultz was able in Atlanta. They have a wonderful church and a big church. He had two services on Sundays. I forget how many were in his congregation, but thousands. So it can be done. You can think out of that. But you have to know that that thing exists. You have to know that this thing called race mind exists. All over the place. All over the place it exists. But we cannot evolve as human beings and as a race itself, if we keep thinking the same thoughts over and over, if we keep repeating the same history over and over and over and over, we have to learn to change that. So in our own life, we have to realize that our history is only that. It's history. And it has nothing to do with us whatsoever. That we can choose out of that. It doesn't mean that you forget it. It means you stop allowing it to influence you. And you stop allowing it to be the most important thing in your life. This is who I am because of my parents. This is who I am because of my education. This is who I am because of this, that, and the other thing. You are who you are because of this thing called God. You are who you are because of this thing called God. So let those thoughts come in so that you can expand your thinking. Because it's only in thinking bigger thoughts about yourself that your life is going to get bigger. That your life is going to get bigger. We all believe in God. And we all say, yes, God can do this, that, and the other thing. Then why isn't God doing that in your life? Why isn't God doing that in your life? Because race mind tells you that it doesn't happen that way. That it doesn't happen that way. My friend Bunny, 80 some years old, she has a friend Marjorie. Marjorie is at the grocery store. And Marjorie left her purse in the cart, went down the aisle to pick some mail. When she came back, the cart and the purse, everything is gone. So she called Bunny. And Bunny said, oh, I'll put you on the prayer list. Bunny is a Presbyterian. And Marjorie said, oh, that never works. Bunny said, well, it most certainly does. Let's give it a try. Put her on the prayer list. A week later, they found her purse. Everything was in it except $20. But they found the purse and all the credit cards, everything intact. You're saying, what does that prove? Yes, prayer does work. And it also means that, yes, we have a system called treatment, but other forms of prayer work also. Other forms of prayer work also. You see, many, many, many metaphysicians think, oh my God, I finally found the answer. Now I'm superior to the Catholics and the Jews, and I'm superior because now I have this thing called treatment. And we can treat, and God listens to us more than God listens to other people. This is not true. Remember my friend Doug the Baptist? He wouldn't know treatment, but came up and slapped him in the face. Yet he gets whatever he wants through prayer. He gets what he wants through prayer. You have to know that prayer works, you say. And how are you going to know that? By keep doing it and doing it and doing it till it works for you. Till it works for you. You see, it's not an airy-fairy thing. But we are steeped in race mind, which tells you, oh, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You see. Miracles happen all the time. Miracles happen all the time. But race mind says, oh, very rare. Very rare do miracles happen. And if miracles happen in the medical field, they say, oh, that's, they just went into remission. That's not a miracle. That's not a miracle. They want to talk you out of it. And they always talk themselves out of it. Remember years ago I said, when you do a treatment, when anything nice happens to you, you immediately know that it happened to you. Because this thing called God is doing it. Instead of saying, oh, what happened anyway. You see. Many people use that, oh, what happened anyway. See, that's discounting. And as soon as you discount this power, you don't have this power. You cannot discount it. You have to know that it works all the time. Even when it appears not to be working. Even when it appears not to be working, you have to know that it's working. You see, there's such a thing called divine reasoning. Divine reasoning. And with our little finite minds, sometimes we can't figure out what that divine reasoning is. But you have to know, simply because you did not get it the way you wanted it does not mean that it didn't work. You have to realize that you're always moving from your good to your greater good. That something wonderful is in store for you. This is the things that you have to remember. When you get up in the morning and you say, I have a wonderful life, you have to know that then there's something wonderful in store for you that day. You see, you have to change your whole attitude. You have to change your attitude. When you change your attitude, you are moving out of race mind. You are moving your mode of operation. You see, you can treat and you can do all this stuff, but if your attitude is, oh, the world's going to hell in a handbasket. Life is a struggle. Money is hard to get. Money doesn't grow on trees. That's an attitude. That is an attitude that you're holding. You have to go through and see, what are my attitudes and where did I get these attitudes and who gave them to me? And then learn to change those attitudes, you see, and make it a game for yourself. You see, most people make life a struggle. Why don't you make it a game and say, oh, look what my mind's doing now. Isn't that funny? I don't want it to do that. I don't want my mind doing that. Instead of letting your mind just do anything it wants to you all the time. You have to take control of your mind. You have to realize that you are the one that's running your mind. Your mind is not running you. You have to visualize being at the switchboard of your mind. You have to visualize during being at the switchboard of your mind. Now, when we talk about moving your mode of operation and so forth, and this whole thing of race mind, what is the biggest thing that keeps race mind going and your mode of operation going, why you don't get things? Because I'm going to tell you. It's fear. You're constantly living in fear. Fear is race mind. You're afraid you're going to get unemployed. You're afraid of this. You're afraid you're going to live under the bridge. You're afraid there's not enough money. You're afraid the traffic is going to be bad. You're afraid the airlines won't run on time. This won't happen. Fear, fear, fear. Somebody's going to break in. Oh, I better buy insurance. Oh, I better get this. I better get that. Fear, 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 fear. Now, if your mode of operation is fear and you do a treatment, how are you going to make it work? How are you going to make it work? So you have to move your operation, your mode of operation over here to love and security and knowing that you're being taken care of. Knowing that you're being taken care of. Regardless of what the appearance is. Regardless of what the appearance is always going to be there. The appearance is always going to be there. You see. A wonderful thing to do and to visualize and to use your imagination is this. You must think of yourself as a projector. And you're projecting the reality that you're living in. You're projecting the reality that you're living in. So if you're the projector and the film that you put in is based in fear, all you're going to see is that. But if you're the projector and you put in the film of love, then all you're going to see is that. And you're going to see the world the way you want it to be. Caring and sharing and nurturing and all the wonderful things. That's moving, you're saying. So think of this, when you're looking at something, oh my goodness, I'm projecting that. And then just reach up and take that out and put the one in that you want. Just put the one in that you want. It's just a film you're watching. Your life is a film, people, on a screen that you're watching. All life is. And that film is your thinking. That film is your thinking. But you're so convinced that you're not your thinking. that these thoughts just come in from somebody. Who's giving them to you? Who lives in your mind besides you? You're the only one that's living up there. You see? I cannot breathe for you. I cannot eat for you. And I cannot think for you. Only you can do that. No one else can do your thinking for you. So once you know that, what a wonderful gift you have. You say, oh, my, I'm doing this. No one else is doing it. Now you're free from any circumstance whatsoever. You're free from any circumstance whatsoever. Because you're the one that's doing the thinking. You're the one that's doing the thinking. If you want to change, and if you want your future to be different than the present moment, you have to put a film in of seeing yourself in the future. You have to put that film in. Where are you going in the future? Where are you living? Who are you with? What are you doing? Doesn't mean you deny the present moment. You must always stay in the present moment, but you must have your eye in the future. But you must have your eye in the future. It just goes. It just goes. So see yourself as this projector. Give up this idea all the time that you're a human being and you're doing ugh, all that stuff. You know, you have this wonderful imagination. See yourself. Oh my goodness, look at that. I'm doing this. And use this. Oh, I don't like that tape. You see? Easiest thing in the world to do. You know, I started the Atlanta Church, Junior Church of Religious Science, and we used to teach the children, if you don't like what you're seeing, turn the channel just like you do when you're watching television. Just like all your mind is and is projecting out there. So if you're watching, oh, I don't like that, click, click. Move it to a station that you like. Oh, I'm an addict. Click to a different station. Click to a different station. Your mind wants to hold on to that. You want to hold on to that because it loves identity. It loves to identify with something. But you sit down and you say to yourself, you know, I'm whole, complete, and perfect. I know I'm a wonderful human being. I know that I'm one with God. I know that I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. I'm not watching that piece of garbage that on there. I'm changing it to what I want to be. And you change it. And then you start to see the things. You start to see the things. And then what do you remember? Never, 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 never give up. You know, when I smoked, I gave up smoking many times. Many times. And I went right back to it. I think it was Will Rogers who said smoking is the easiest thing in the world to do. He did it 100 times. I did it at least 100 times. But every time I did it with a little bit more resolve. And a little bit more resolve. So finally, I had enough resolve to get over it. That's all it takes to get over things, people. Try it once. If it lasts a minute, if it lasts 2 minutes, the next time it'll last a little longer, a little longer, and a little longer. And lo and behold, you'll be out of the situation. But you give in, you become lazy. We all become lazy. And we say, oh, no, well, I'll take a pill instead, or I'll do this, that, the other thing. No. And you don't punish yourself. You don't do all this efforting. You say, well, that lasted 5 minutes. You didn't fail. A human being can never fail. Human beings don't fail. Things fail. Events fail. People never fail. So, back smoking again. I say to myself, well, I'm going to try that next week. I'm going to try that next time. And you try again. You try again. See? Remember, it doesn't matter how many times you fall down, it's how many times you pick yourself up that counts. How many times I picked myself up and brushed myself off so many times. second nature. But I keep going. I keep going. And you know, I get happier all the time. I get healthier all the time. I like life more all the time. So what could be wrong with it? You see, what could be wrong with it? Years ago, I said to myself, Dallas, I'm not going to grow up to be an old, mean person. And I was headed in that direction. And I would have been a wonderful old, mean person. But I made up my mind I wasn't going to do it. So what did I do? I took that tape down. I put another one in, and I started to see myself differently. It's easy to do. Life is easy to do. What makes life so hard and difficult? What tells you that it's so difficult? Race mind. Race mind, and you buy into it. You buy into it. Please, don't buy into it. Let me go through some cards here. Every thought you think is creating your future. Every thought you think is creating your future. So what are you thinking? I understand that no thought, condition, or person can limit me unless I allow it to happen. No thought, condition, or person can limit me. Remember, that was Eleanor Roosevelt who said, no one can make you inferior without your consent. Without your consent. You know? Know who you are. Don't allow it to happen. This is the one that I'm always talking about. You must change your base of operation out of the belief frame of the official line of consciousness. Transformation happens when you do this. You see, you cannot transform yourself while you're in race mind, while you're operating at that level. Remember, race mind is always going, always, 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 always going to be in the law of averages. What does that mean, the law of averages? 9 out of 10 people die of this. 3 out of 4 do that. 7 out of 6 do that. And what do people in race mind do? They always include themselves in the other group, you see. If 9 out of 10 people die of this, they're in the 9. Why wouldn't you go to the 1? Why wouldn't you go to the 1? Because you don't feel that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. When you say, oh, I'm over here. I'm the one that's going to get it. How many people have you heard say that? I'll get it. That's what I'll get it. They say. I say, I don't get things. They pass right by me. Go right by me. So I have a wonderful card for that. I am only open to helpful and constructive suggestions and influences. Remember, I told you, put a little governor on your mind. A sentinel. Use your imagination. There are 2 sentinels here in the front of my mind. And there's a drawbridge. Back here is a big castle. I'm living in the castle. Here comes bad influences. My little sentinel saying, no, no, no. And quickly, up goes the drawbridge. They don't get in. They don't get in. Most people, what do? You run out and welcome. You run right out down the damn drawbridge and say, come on in, we're having a party. Don't do that. Raise your drawbridge. I am automatically protected against negative influences and suggestions. You see, you have to know you're automatically protected. You have to, right there in front, with up goes the drawbridge. You don't let that in. You see, my drawbridge went right up in the man's little summer cold there the first. Some are cold, they're the worst. I didn't want that in. You see, you notice it. And you immediately say, oh, there goes the drawbridge. They're not entertaining you. You see, you wouldn't let bad people in your house. You wouldn't let ugly, bad people in your house and destroy your house. You'll let an influence, a thought or something right in your mind, and it'll kick you to death, and you'll say, oh, isn't that wonderful? Can you come back next week? You know, how many of you have been letting the same thought kick you around for 30 years? You brought it in. Don't do that to yourself, people. I am deserving. Oh, I love this one. I am deserving and have a large income that fulfills all my desires and needs. I am deserving and have a large income that fulfills all my desires and needs. Now, isn't that wonderful? Do you get up every morning and remind yourself of that?
No.
We'll start doing it.
Okay.
Heal yourself. Think of those things in the morning. Geez, I have a lovely, large income. Large income. And so I say, oh, how am I going to get money today? How am I going to get money today? How many people get up and wonder how they're going to get money today? Don't do that. No, you have a large income. By looking inside, we can concentrate on the things that we can truly change in any given situation. The parts that we have contributed, at least, that's enough. The part that we have contributed to, you can only change your own thinking. And that's the part you're contributing to anything, and you can change that. You see, don't work on the outside of life. Don't work in the world out there. Work on yourself. People want to know how to stop war. Oh, I'm going to protest. I'm going to march. I'm going to do that. The whole time they're going home and kicking the cat. If you're going home and kicking the cat, don't get out and pretend you're going for peace. You're not going for peace. The only way we're ever going to have peace in the things we want is to start thinking differently inside of our own thinking. To think differently inside of our own selves. That is how things are going to change. Peace comes from within, not from without. As long as we have domestic violence, there'll be no peace. War will continue. War will continue. And where is war, people? It's in race mind. Years ago, in the 40s, right before the war, Second World War, a woman at a religious science convention stood up and said, there is no war in the mind of God. Took everyone aback. But you have to remember, there is no war in the mind of God. There is war in man's mind, and most men's minds are in race mind. If you move from the law of averages to the law of cause and effect to the mind of God, there is no war. There is no war. Think of that. Oh, I love this one. In any moment of decision, the best thing you can do is the right thing. The next best thing is the wrong thing. And the worst thing you can do is nothing. After all, if we do the wrong thing, at least we can learn. Theodore Roosevelt. I make decisions very quickly because I don't care if they're right or wrong. I'll find out that quickly also. People hash things around forever and a day thinking, oh, well, I have to make the right decision. I have cousins who are still trying to make the right decisions, and they've been doing it for at least 30 years, and they still haven't made the right decision because they will not come to a conclusion. They will not come to that. There is nothing wrong with coming to a quick conclusion. You will know if it's right or you will know if it's wrong, and then you can change it. Then you can change it. So if you're starting with yourself in your own life and you want to start something and you're still trying to decide, what am I going to be? Who am I going to become? What is this? What is that? Just make a decision. Just make it, and you'll discover if it's right or if it's wrong. When I said earlier, power is only in the present moment. You must make a decision in the present moment. Once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. The whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, but the universe will back you up in any decision that you make. Then you can decide if it's right or wrong. But you're waiting for God to say, it's right, go ahead. Remember, God is much too polite to butt into your life without you asking. Much too polite to butt into your life without you asking. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.